It's a pleasure to be here this evening, and it's a pleasure to take this part of the sermon. Thank you so much, Douglas, for giving me the opportunity. Thank you, the station, and all the members of Palmerston Place Church. Today, as Douglas has already said, we begin the Advent season. And in the church calendar, we say it's the beginning of the church calendar. And I'll be giving us the sermon on the topic, Waiting in Hope. Waiting in Hope. Let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us while we are in waiting. Speak to us while we are watching. Speak to us while we are longing, while we are sorrowing, while we are rejoicing, while we are sighing. Speak to us by your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, gracious Lord, be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a period of waiting, a season which Christians celebrate not only Christ's coming to earth as a baby, but his presence among us through the Holy Spirit, and also anticipating his coming at the end of time. As we begin our journey through the season of Advent, let us take some time out to listen to what God may be saying to us. For a moment, allow yourself to notice your breathing as you breathe normally. Breathe in and breathe out. I wonder if we are doing that. As you sit with your eyes closed, imagine you are sitting in a small room in a house that is surrounded by farmlands and woods. The busy life of the city, the busy life of the family, and our different careers has made us feel anxious, has made us feel a little bit unfocused, has made us feel unsettled. You know, we know, I know that in the midst of this, we need some time. We need something. And we need someone to let into our mind, to be quiet and to learn and to make our hearts open. To be quiet and to open. To be quiet and to be open. Those words sound so peaceful and desirable, but sometimes they seem unreachable. Sometimes we feel the ambience around us could be quiet. It seems desirable, but many times it looks like they are very unreachable. As you sit in the silence, you hear a faint sound like a knock on the door. Your heart races. Who knows I'm here? In this small house, in the farmland. I need to be alone, you think. The knocking becomes harder. As much as you want to stay in the room, something moves you to go to the door. The knock comes again, but it is a soft knock. As you approach the door, you see a light streaming under it. Hello, can I help you? You say without opening the door. A soft voice says, it is me. I have been looking for you. Something deep inside you stirs, but you haven't talked in a long time. I have missed you, he says, but we haven't talked in a long time. I have missed you, he says. And you open the door. Standing there at the door is who I think you have guessed in your heart now, Jesus Christ. His eyes look at you with such tenderness, carrying out a small lantern that gives us a warm, bright light. You stand there, unable to speak at first, allowing yourself to take in his presence and his light. You speak to Jesus. What would you say to him? You invite Jesus into the house to sit and to tell him of the restlessness you feel. As you talk to Jesus, a wave of peace and calm watches over you as the warm light streaming from the lantern. Be still. You open the door. Now let me take care of you, Jesus said. You close your eyes and let his words embrace you. Your heart is now at peace and your mind is still. When you open your eyes, behold, Jesus is gone. Sitting beside the chair where he sat is the lantern still emitting that warm, bright light. And you smile and you rest in the glow of that light. It is often said that there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. But some of the tunnels are long and difficult to make it through. While we join it together as a people, we are each at different points in our journey. Some might be at the point of their reliefs in their lives, while others might be sitting next to or they know someone who is trying to make it through a tunnel. These tunnels often plunge most of our lives into darkness, and we have to make our ways through that darkness one step at a time until a new dawn finally begins to break. The readings from Isaiah has some similarities for us. The Israelite who has spent 50 years in exile in Babylon has been allowed to return to Jerusalem. They came with high expectations of what it's going to be like to be home after that long, dark walk through the tunnels of exile. But they arrived to find everything in ruins, fields and vineyards overgrown with weeds and foreigners living in their city. They entered a new tunnel caused by a grief at what they found and a discouragement over how difficult it will be to get around it. They prayed to God to come down and rid them of their enemies as he had in the Exodus. In Mark chapter 13, from verse 24 to 37, we read, Jesus told his disciples, there will be lots of tunnels still to come for the people of faith. Earthquake, wars, famine, times when the sun and moon gives no light, and the power will be shaken. When Mark was writing down his gospel, Roman troops were bearing down on Jerusalem to stamp out the Jewish revolt. Soon the temple will be destroyed. Many Jews were massacred or exiled. It was a dark tunnel of a time for the Jews and Jewish Christians. The temptation to abandon faith, to deny faith, or just to give up is often great in the tunnel. as people waiting in hope, Psalms 130 reminds us of where our hopes are rooted, what we hope for, and how to live as people waiting in hope. Hope is all that can keep us moving when we are experiencing the darkness of a tunnel, any tunnel. Hope that there is an end to any tunnel and that there will be a light awaiting us. In the midst of our different tunnels, personal tunnels of grief, of illnesses, personal tunnels of separation, of loneliness, and even global tunnels of concerns and fears over economic uncertainties, over cost of living crisis, climate changes crisis, we are all called to have hope which is based on something far more powerful than all the challenges in our lives and in the world just now. Our hope is built on nothing less than in Jesus Christ, who has come and who is coming again. In the Matthew Gospel that we couldn't read, Jesus told his disciples that the coming of the Son of Man will be unexpected and sudden, so we should be ready while we are waiting. The passage is set in the wider context of Jesus speaking about the end of the age and the signs that the kingdom is coming again. The invitation is once again that we live differently in the light of the coming kingdom. It is to keep awake and to stay alert to the world around us as we live. We are to know that Jesus is the light that we need in this dark world, and that if we have Jesus, we have this light, and we should let this light radiate and shine within our environment. We should know that Jesus is the light at the end of any of the tunnels we might be passing through. And he does not just wait there at the end until we arrive. We should know that Jesus comes to meet us in the darkness. In this Advent season, we are reassured that however more the world might be shaken, God's promises through Christ are unshakable. The hope on which we base our lives is not only in this life, but in the resurrection, the promise of reigning forever with Christ in glory. It is that kind of confidence that allows us to make the sacrifice that is needed for us to serve others. May we overflow with hope enough to share with other people, even in this Advent season. Amen.